The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from. It is June 5, 2022. Yes, my name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Next Sunday will be Mayor Jolovitz, but today's my show with Ken Timmerman. This is the 19th year of broadcasting Middle East Radio Forum. As I've said many times, we are the longest-running brokerage show in the history of the state of Arizona. I'd like to thank my listeners for making that possible. And what I mean by that is by using the services of the advertisers and, of course, some direct donations. Very much appreciated. This show is noon in Arizona this time of year. It's also noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. in Israel. And it's 9 p.m. in France, where my guest is right now. So, Ken Timmerman, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. We're going to talk about The Rest is History, your new book, but let me give you a very brief introduction here. You've been on the show many times. You're the author of 11 works of nonfiction, including two New York Times bestsellers and three published novels. You were nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006 by the former deputy premier of Sweden for your work to expose Iran's nuclear weapons program. And you can read Ken's latest articles, interviews, and blogs on his website, www.kentimmerman.com. That's KENTIMMERMAN.com. And I'd like to say that I first became interested in you and aware of you, actually, when I picked up the book Countdown to Crisis about Iran's nuclear weapons program. And the last chapter scared me tremendously. It talked about a tramp steamer coming in with a Scud missile and launching an atomic bomb against Washington, D.C. Apparently low-tech, but very, very effective and would work. And that really scared me, and I thought I better get to know you a little bit better. And I have done that, and I appreciate the fact that you've been on the show several times now. Now, the book is called The Rest is History, the subtitle Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies. And Ken, let me say, after going through this, you are a very lucky man to be alive. It's amazing how many times you could have been killed and just disposed of by some of the enemies of the United States, the enemies of Israel, and I will have to say the enemies of humanity. I don't know if you want to get into that at all, but I would like to get into the situation regarding Iran-Contra and so on. But I'll let you decide where you want to go from here.
Well, let me just say that, you know, at my age, I'm now over 60. I can laugh at these things. And the many times that I've escaped the clutches of those who would have very easily killed me on the spot, whether it was in a basement in Lebanon, in Beirut in 1982 during the Israeli invasion when I was taken hostage. It was literally a coin toss whether I was alive or dead. And the coin came up my lucky star. And many times as well in Iraq and on the border with Iran and in Syria and the Baqa Valley. Bill, I believe that I've been blessed by God with guardian angels. And I think we all have guardian angels, but I must have a whole company of them. Yeah. because I need them. I really need them. And they come. They're always there when I need them. Even when I do stupid things to myself, I have guardian angels who take care of me. Yeah. And I learned that in Lebanon, in that cellar, when I was born again to my Christian faith.
Okay. And I believe that you have guardian angels just based upon the many times that you have come out alive and well. You're an expert in a lot of areas that we talk about on Middle East Radio Forum, so it's an absolute pleasure and resource for you to be on the show. I'm going to go to what's labeled as Chapter 5 in your new book called Need Juice. And it starts off Iran-Contra, The Real Beginning. Do you want to explain that, please?
Yeah, well, okay. So I got involved, this is in the early 80s, actually, the mid-80s, 84, 85, with a group of American former CIA officers, a number of recently retired colonels from the U.S. Army who were looking to sell weapons to Iran. And they were referring to this as the initiative. This was something that was blessed at the highest levels of the U.S. government. And they told a very convincing story. And I tracked these guys for several years. And you read this in the book, my meetings with them, and they get suspicious of me because I'm a journalist, but still they can't help but talking. And that's one of the things I learned, you know, over and over again. Arms dealers, Bill, they love to talk. They might kill you as well, but they love to talk. They want to tell you their story first. And so these guys kept on telling me their story. They kept on telling me that this is all blessed at the highest levels, and the Ayatollah, we've got to get in there and sell the Ayatollah some stuff before it's all going to be free. And so I was tracking these guys for 2 years. At one point, I was working with CBS News 60 Minutes. I actually worked with the mainstream media while it was still mainstream. Today it's become a partisan media, which is a great shame. But CBS 60 Minutes is a terrific, terrific news organization when they do news and don't do partisan hits. And I worked with them, we were going to do an undercover interview with one of the arms dealers in the Paris Hilton Hotel. And so I get all wired up for sound, and I'm waiting for this guy, and he's been calling me. We've been going back and forth. This is the era before cell phones, okay? So I would have to go up to the concierge at the hotel or go into a pay phone booth and track this guy down. He was supposed to meet me at 5 o'clock, and I'm sitting there nervous. It gets to 6 o'clock, 6:30. I'm looking at my cameraman over in the far side of the room who's got me on his screen, but you can't tell. I'm all wired for sound. And the guy never shows up. I'm sweating bricks. Finally, he calls at about 7 o'clock and says he got stuck for whatever reason, some late last-minute negotiation, and he'll be there at midnight, and we agree to meet again. But this was the kind of thing. So I actually had a contract with CBS 60 Minutes in 1984 and 1985 to track what later became the Iran-Contra arms deal, the arms for hostage deal. But this was the early stages. And I like to say it was the colonels, and they got taken over by the generals. The colonels got put out of business, and the generals took over, General Secord and the White House directly.
Okay, did that meeting actually occur at midnight?
No, I did not stick around for midnight. And the CBS guys didn't want to stick around until midnight either. But we got several voice calls, but we never, in the end, I was with Bob Simon on the Champs-Élysées, Bob Simon, who was killed in Iraq a couple of years ago. And he was an amazing reporter. And he improvised a stand-up on the Champs-Élysées about, arms going to Iran and hostages in Lebanon. And this is something that it's an initiative to bring Iran back into the fold, the Western fold, and keep them from going to the Soviets, which is the way at the time it was being pitched. It was being pitched as a strategic initiative to keep Iran in the Western bloc of nations and not allow them to get taken over by the Soviets. Now, what happened is that Iran has, in fact, become wedded to both Russia and Communist China. And it's a new axis of evil that has formed. But this was an effort during the Reagan administration to head that off of the pass. And people did see it coming, and they failed.
Okay. Did you ever get an interview that was recorded on this subject?
I got tons of them that were recorded, but they were not on TV. We did not get the TV interviews. We got them all on tape. For 60 Minutes, tape was not good enough, and we never did the story.
Okay. When these people know they're being recorded, are they open to talk to you about it?
Well, you know, it's first of all, they didn't always know that they were they didn't always know they were being recorded. I was working in France, don't forget. Doesn't have the same rules as in the United States. So I could record all my telephone conversations as I wish, which I did. And I did it systematically to make sure that I quoted people accurately. I wanted to make sure that I quoted people accurately, not from memory and not even from notes. People have, you know, it's astonishing sometimes, Bill, the way people talk. You know, they have idioms. They have, you know, specific, you know, it's very specific. This guy, Paul Cutter, for example, this former CIA officer originally from Serbia. His real name was Paul Skekloka. And he was a fascinating figure. He could tell tales, could tell stories for hours on end over a bottle of whiskey, as he did many, many times in Paris, about being, you know, in Russia as what he called it. I was a delegation appendage. And he was walking the Pamir Mountains. He was in very, very strange places, particularly visiting Soviet missile bases and U.S. NSA listeners.
You know, there may be some revelations that you wanted to share with the United States. I assume there were. And did you share them?
I didn't hear that. You said there may be some.
There may be some revelations that you got from these interviews, all these interviews, that information that the U.S. government would have wanted. I mean, did that come up and did you do it?
Oh, absolutely. Now, later on, so I spent a lot of time in Baghdad during the 80s when nobody was going there. Nobody went. The Iran-Iraq war was a big snooze for the media. Again, I was working for CBS News many times that I went there. And I interviewed virtually every arms dealer who ever worked in Iraq, from Sarkis Soganalian to the French guys who were selling these, you know, big towed howitzers to people from South Africa. I tracked some of them down to South Africa, went to Pretoria to interview the head of Arms Corps, the South African arms manufacturing agency, because I had a tip-off that they were selling their biggest guns to Saddam Hussein. So I wound up talking to all these guys, and we knew that the Iraqis at that time were listening to everything and to everybody. They were following everybody. They followed me around Baghdad. And so we would go. These guys were really hilarious sometimes, especially the French. So we'd go out onto the balconies of the hotel because we knew that the rooms were bugged. We knew that the bars were bugged. We'd go out on the hotel balconies. And that's where I got my real information. And I learned. Here's one of the tricks of the trade, Bill. When I was in Baghdad, I never, ever put down the name of a source in my notebooks because I knew that the Iraqis were reading the notebooks, and they showed this to me, you know, early on. They actually pilfered my reporter's notebooks for 2 days in the hotel and then put them back in place after they had copied them. But they didn't have the name of a single source.
So basically, you're getting information from both sides that Iran-Iraq war was 8 years from about 1980 to 1988,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
1980 to 1988, it was a long, hard slog. There's a section of the book on the battlefield going into Iran, actually. And it was in the middle of summer, 120 degrees, a bit like Phoenix in summer, 120 degrees. But with sand blowing in the air, so it was very hard to see.
No swimming pool to jump into to cool off?
not there, Bill.
That is not like Phoenix, sorry.
No, and there was a little bit more artillery traffic. So we got caught in an artillery barrage and had to run from trench to trench. This was the old-fashioned trench warfare. And what's so astonishing, I look at the Ukraine war, and you and I have talked about this recently, but the Russians are using the same tactics that they taught the Iraqis 35 years ago. They were using the same tactics on the battlefields against Iran. Trench warfare.
That's what they used against the Nazis, with the concentration of artillery.
Yeah, that's right. And digging the tanks in. They dig the tanks into pits So you go into the Valley of the Turrets, is one place that I call in the book, the Valley of the Turrets, where all these Iraqi tanks, T-72s, the same tanks the Russians are taking into Ukraine today. It's unbelievable.
It's kind of hard to move them out of the way, isn't it, if they're dug in like that?
It sure is, and they just sit there as artillery pieces.
Well, that's a good way for the crews to die and have it destroyed because they can't dodge it. We are coming up on the the first break. As you know, we have three breaks during the show, four segments, and we're going to go to commercials in a minute. But I'd like you to kind of talk about what you know about the Iran-Contra situation. Give us some insider's information when we get back. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. This show is available worldwide on the Internet on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. It used to be .net, not anymore. MiddleEastRadioForum.com, where you can listen live anywhere in the world, or you can listen to old shows in the podcast. And also, as I mentioned before, the show is rebroadcast on the station every Saturday evening at 9 p.m., so it's very easy to catch the show if you've missed it live. And please do spread the word about this show. This show is really unique. There's no other show that I'm aware of that's like it. We have wonderful guests and very, very topical information that you really need to know about. And I thank you, as always, for using the services of the advertisers and letting the advertiser know that you're doing so because they advertise on this program. That is the lifeblood of Middle East Radio Forum. As you know, this is a brokered show, which means I have to pay for the show each and every week. And the only way I'm able to do that is because I have these great sponsors and great listeners who support the show by using their services. As I've said many times, often it costs you nothing to support the show. But change where you're spending your money from someone who does not advertise to somebody who does. Also, direct donations are certainly welcome. People have asked how they can help the show if they're unable to use the services of the advertisers. You can send a check to me, William J. Wolf, and my office address, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, Arizona, 85020. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back with Ken Timmerman for this very interesting show. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885. There are a lot of great Mexican restaurants in Phoenix, but I am very particular. When I want the best Mexican lunch or dinner, I head straight to Mi Patio on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. They serve all your favorite dishes and only use pure vegetable oil in their cooking. Mi Patio is sure to become your favorite Mexican restaurant, too. That's Mi Patio Mexican Restaurant on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. How do you choose your accident injury attorney? If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from seeing an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I do not advertise on TV or billboards, but only on this radio show. I give all clients personal attention. Your phone calls are never intercepted by some untrained assistant. I take all calls if I am available or return calls at my earliest opportunity. I was named Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association 2 years ago and have 48 years of experience. So think about it and choose your accident attorney wisely. My number is 602-279-1914, and my office is located at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. I personally welcome your call. Again, 602-279-1914.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Mayor Jalovitz returns next Sunday. My guest, actually, he's in France right now, Kenneth Timmerman. He's author of some very interesting, important books. We're talking mostly about his new book, And the Rest is History, with the subtitle, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies. And as we talked about earlier, Ken's actually lucky to be alive. Some of the things he's done, taken hostage, had artillery blow up near him. Ken, is there anything else you wanted to talk about, the Iran and the Iraq information that you obtained?
Well, sure. I mean, there's one of the characters that I profile in the book is a guy I call Bernard the Arms Dealer. And it's characters like this that made this whole story appear credible to me. It gave it credibility to me. Bernard was somebody who had flown Corsairs, U.S.-built Corsair aircraft for the French Navy. They were the first aircraft that the French Navy had that could take off from an aircraft carrier. And he was trained in the United States, spoke English, and was very pro-American. So this was a guy who was then flying charters into Iran in the early 1980s out of a tiny airport outside of Bruges, Belgium. And as he was going back and forth, of course, he met Iranian air pilots. And the Iranian air pilots were also former Air Force pilots, and they knew current Air Force officers. And so bit by bit, they asked him to find weapons for them to use against Iraq. Because at that time, don't forget, the entire Iranian arsenal came from the United States. It's what the Shah of Iran bought during the 1970s from the United States. F-14 aircraft, F-4s, F-5s. Most of their navy, their artillery, it was all American made, and they could not get spare parts. So they were going all over the world, you know, trying to get spare parts to make these weapon systems work against the Iraqis. In the book that I did about this called Fanning the Flames, this is back in the late 1980s. There were something like. I remember it was hilarious. There were over 50 countries selling weapons to either Iran or Iraq, and 37 of them were selling to both sides. They were selling to both sides. So everybody was getting involved in this. It was the arms bonanza for the French. Saddam Hussein was retirement, champagne and caviar in Saint-Tropez. If they made the deal, it was champagne and caviar forever. If they didn't get the deal, they'd be in the doghouse. So Bernard was one of these guys, and he was a patriot. He more than an arms dealer. He was asked by the Iranians to find U.S. weapons. So he was on a search to find who were the Americans authorized to sell to Iran. And he put together a strategic package. So he talked in terms of strategy. He was talking about the Soviets flying backfire bombers over Iran at very high, 60,000 feet, way beyond reach of the Iranian Air Force. They had an intelligence package to hand over to the United States. It was given to George H.W. Bush, who was then the vice president of the United States. It's much more than what you've read about with Iran-Contra. It's why they called it the initiative. It was a strategic initiative to try to bring Iran back into the fold, and you had all kinds of people involved in it. And in the end, U.S. Customs busted these guys. So half the guys that I knew and I write about in this book, and the rest is history. Half of them wound up in jail. And later on, their jail sentences were revoked, were lifted, because they used the Iran-Contra defense. Well, we were there. We were the first channel that opened up. Later, it was the White House that did it, but we were the ones who opened it up and sold the government on the initiative. Over $1 billion of weapons went to Iran through these various arms sales.
Okay, briefly, just explain what the Iran deal was so that everybody will be on the same page.
So Iran-Contra is what became historically known as Iran-Contra is not what I write about in the book. I write about what came just before Iran-Contra. Iran-Contra is what the so-called mainstream media wrote about, where the weapons to Iran through Israel, Ali North, they would generate excess profits. Those profits would then be funneled to the Contras in Nicaragua because Congress had made illegal any support for the Nicaraguan Contras by the Reagan administration. So that's Iran-Contra. It also included an element of getting U.S. hostages out of Lebanon who were held by Iranian terrorist proxies. Some of these people, many of those hostages I knew personally. I'd been with them on various battlefields. There are a couple of French guys I write about in the rest is history. My friend, there are so many people who were there for years and years and years in hostage. And I was lucky when I was taken hostage to only be held for 24 days in the middle of a battle. It was pretty brutal. We were getting bombed day in and day at night. But I think of, my friend Terry Anderson, who I met after I was released in 1982. And he said, well, do they torture you? And I said, yeah. He said, you have marks? I said, no. He said, were they killing people? I said, yeah, they were taking people out and shooting them. And he said, you have proof? I said, no, of course I don't have proof. He said, come back, come back later. There's a war going on. And 2 years later, he himself was taken hostage and held for something like 6 years. It was horrible, horrible, horrible.
I can't even imagine. I do have a question from Jan in Sun City, Arizona. She wants to know if you've had any interaction with Oliver North and Gary Webb.
I did not personally at that time. I got to meet Ollie North many times later on after he was out of the White House, but I did not at that time, no.
Okay.
I did become friends with Michael Ledeen, who was part of that whole network. And Michael Ledeen is quite a character, became a good friend of mine and my wife. We got to know their family very well. Michael Ledeen would always, when he came through Paris, as he said, I would always stop by to see Ghorbanifar, the famous Iranian arms dealer door opener.
Interesting. Okay. We are coming up on break shortly. You've got something in your book about spending 3 weeks with the Royal Saudi Armed Forces. And if you're willing, I'd like you to talk about that experience.
Well, I spent many years as a military correspondent. So, and there weren't very many people doing this. I would first of all go to weapons factories and see how weapons were manufactured throughout Europe, in South Africa, and in Iraq. I got to know the heads of the Iraqi missile programs, their chemical weapons program, even their nuclear weapons program. All of that is in the book. So, by doing that, I got invited to different places. I got kicked out of Iraq by the defense minister because they didn't like the way I had reported on how they were using French weapon systems. And then I got re-invited back a year and a half later because I was the guy they wanted to tell their story to.
Okay, I've got to stop you there because we are coming up on the break. And there's something in your book about how Saudi Arabia despised the United States because of their Islamic faith. I'd like you to briefly touch on that, if you would, when we get back. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. Mayor Jolovitz will be with you next Sunday. And as always, please support the show by using the services of the advertisers, letting the advertisers know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. They need to know that their advertising dollars are well spent. And please just spread the word about this show. It's available everywhere in the world on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. Also, if you have any questions, please get them in now. You can either call in or you can send it by email. If you're local, I prefer a call-in so we can talk to you about it. But in any event, get your questions in now. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Kenneth Timmerman. Friends of the Israel Defense Forces offers educational, cultural, recreational, and social services that provide hope, purpose, and life-changing support for the soldiers who protect Israel. FIDF is the sole organization authorized to collect donations on behalf of the soldiers of the IDF. For more information or to make a donation, please visit FIDF.org or call 323-843-2690. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
My name is William J. Wolf, host of Middle East Radio Forum since 2003. As you may know, I am a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was just awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I handle all types of personal injury and wrongful death cases. Unlike many other attorneys, especially the high-volume TV advertising attorneys, I do go to court if necessary to obtain the best possible resolution for all my clients. It is often impossible to obtain the best possible result if your lawyer does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. If you have a claim, please call me for a free initial consultation at 602-279-1914. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Again, call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and making sure that you obtain the best possible recovery. Call 602-279-1914 and please continue to support Middle East Radio Forum.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free, 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's very interesting edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman. He's the author of quite a few books. The one we're talking about now is titled "The Rest and the Rest is History, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies." Ken, I told you before we went to the break, I wanted to get into, actually, Chapter 5, We Hate Your Country. The author spends 3 weeks with the Royal Saudi Armed Forces in this eerily prescient account. Many years before 9/11 attacks, he learns how much the Saudis despise the United States because of their Islamic faith. You want to explain that, please?
It was really an extraordinary experience, and it kind of came out of that work as a defense correspondent. I got invited by the Saudis to tour their air bases, their naval bases, to look at, you know, to go places that really no Western correspondent had been before. I was in a F-15 ready room with Prince Mukreen, who briefly became the Saudi crown prince just before the current crown prince took over. And he was at that point known as Rocky. His call sign was Rocky. And he was an F-15 pilot trained in the United States. But these guys were what I would call weekend pilots. You know, they'd come out on the weekends to fly their Lamborghinis. And the rest of the week they'd be off, you know, making deals and doing different things. But this story that you mentioned, and I think it really is significant, it opened my eyes to the Saudis in a way which later on I began to explore, and I looked into, you know, Wahhabi Islam, and I wrote a book about that later on called Preachers of Hate, Islam and the War on America, right after the 9/11 attacks. And it was the first book that looked at Islam, the ideology of Islam, as something that we needed to study. I learned this for the first time on this visit to Saudi Arabia. I was taken to their naval base in Jeddah. And it was a really big get for me because the people I was writing for, all of those companies, they were advertising and they were selling, French companies in particular, they were selling frigates and corvettes from Marseille, built in Marseille, to the Saudis. And so I was the first journalist to actually go there and photograph them, go on board and see, talk to the commanders and the rest. So this commander talks to me about this whole project, and it's called the Sawari Project, after a great naval victory of the Muslims, he told me. And he says, so we hope our Sawari program will be just as successful. And I said, Sawari, okay, Sawari. Nobody, you know, it was... The term was known in France, where I was living at the time, and reporting. People knew about the Sawari program, but nobody looked into what it meant. So I started to do a little research, and it turns out that Sawari was a major battle in the beginning of the Muslim Empire called the Battle of the Masts, and it was the first major naval victory of the new Muslim Empire. It was fought in AD 655. Against the Byzantine Armada off the coast of Egypt, and it put an end to a millennium of peace that had joined continental Europe to North Africa and the Levant throughout the Greek and Roman empires. Remember the Mare Nostrum? Well, the Mare Nostrum was ended by the Dat al-Sawari, the Battle of the Masts, or the Sawari Battle. And it shattered Christian domination of the Mediterranean Sea, and it sealed the fate of the Holy Roman Empire. It put an end to it. And this was the beginning, Bill. This is what I learned. This is what the Saudis were so proud of. We ended Christian civilization. We ended the Mare Nostrum, the peaceful sea of the Mediterranean. We ended through our predations, through pirates that were, you know, Muslim pirate ships going back and forth from North Africa to Europe. We basically... It started the Dark Ages. We threw Europe into the Dark Ages, and we're proud of it. We are proud of it, and we want to go back to it again. That's what I learned. And it was the beginning, really, of quite an experience exploring Islamic texts, exploring Islamic history, and things like this Battle of the Masts, the Dat al-Sawari, that they named, they used for their naval program. They were so proud of it. They wanted it to happen again, the end of Christendom. That's what they were dreaming of.
You know, Ken, you've got enough material to write another dozen books easily. I don't know if you're willing, but these are very fascinating subjects. I'm sorry we don't have time to go into tremendous detail. We are coming up on the next break. When we get back from break, I do have a question here from Roberta in San Antonio, Texas. She writes, what are Israel's real options when it comes to preventing Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons? And that's from... Roberta in San Antonio. Ken will ask you for your answer to that when we get back from break. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. Next Sunday, it'll be Mayor Jalovitz. I thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading the word about this show. You have a wonderful opportunity to ask Ken Timmerman a direct question, so please get your calls in now. If you're listening, I'm sure you have questions you'd like to ask him, so please get your calls in now. I don't want anybody to get shut out by calling too late. We have one segment left. Luckily, it's the longest segment of today's show, so please get your questions in. And as always, I ask you to please support the show by using the services of my advertisers. Let them know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. That's how you partner with me to bring Middle East Radio Forum to the air. Also, again, direct donations are certainly welcome. I've actually gotten 3 donations from someone in South Australia, and I've gotten a lot of them from Holland also. And I very much appreciate these listeners for listening and for helping support the show. And direct donations can be sent to me, William J. Wolf, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Kenneth Timmerman. This is William Wolf. My weekday job is a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I have been named Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. There is no charge for our first meeting, and I take all cases on a contingent fee basis. Call me at 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
Texas Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street has been my favorite steakhouse for 31 years. Great food, especially their chicken fried steak as well as daily specials in a comfortable setting keeps me coming back for more. You just have to try it for yourself. Also a great Sunday brunch starting at 10 in the morning. That's Texas Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street. Give them a try and you will have a new favorite steakhouse too. My name is William J. Wolf, host of Middle East Radio Forum since 2003. As you may know, I am a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was just awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I handle all types of personal injury and wrongful death cases. Unlike many other attorneys, especially the high-volume TV advertising attorneys, I do go to court if necessary to obtain the best possible resolution for all my clients. It is often impossible to obtain the best possible result if your lawyer does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. If you have a claim, please call me for a free initial consultation at 602-279-1914. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Again, call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and making sure that you obtain the best possible recovery. Call 602-279-1914 and please continue to support Middle East Radio Forum.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman. And Ken, before we went into break, I mentioned this question by email. It's from, Roberta of San Antonio, Texas. She writes, what are Israel's real options when it comes to preventing Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons?
I'm going to answer that. And I'm going to give you an answer that might be a little bit counterintuitive, because it's not just sending off the F-35s or the F-15s. They have other options as well. And I think you're seeing this play out in the streets of Tehran with these assassinations. A couple of weeks ago, there was a Quds Force officer who was gunned down as he was about to leave his house in Tehran. And it turns out that this guy was searching for Israelis and setting up false conferences. I wrote a story about this at Front Page Magazine called Assassination in Tehran. And it turns out that I got the same email that he'd been sending some people in Israel to get them to come to a phony conference in the beginning of 2022. And it was a snatch. It was an effort to snatch people. So the Israelis are very serious. They are on the ground. They have presence inside Iran on the ground. Remember, they were involved in the Stuxnet effort with the U.S. to shut down Iran's centrifuges using malware, you know, by penetrating the software that was driving them. I think they have many other options besides just launching aircraft. And, you know, Bill, in this book, I deal a lot with the Israelis. It's ironic in a way, because when I began, as a young reporter, I was a pro-Palestinian, pot-smoking, philandering, anti-Israel fellow traveler. And then I became, as you see this in the book, I became a conservative, born-again Christian Zionist, a faithful husband and father of five. History is wonderful and full of irony. I love the irony in a single lifetime, where you can go from being completely stupid and wrong-headed and come around through experience on the ground. So one of the things that happened to me, I became an Israeli spy. You know, I began as somebody who was pro-Palestinian. Less than 10 years later, I became an Israeli spy.
Go ahead.
And I was helping Uri Lubrani, who might be known to some of our listeners. He was in charge first of the Lebanon portfolio and later the Iran portfolio for the Israeli government. I became very close to Uri, and I was helping him to in an unsuccessful effort, as it turned out, but helping him to get an A4 navigator, Ron Arad, who had been captured in Lebanon, first by Hezbollah and later sold to Iran. We were trying to get him out. I had contacts in Hezbollah who Uri thought could help. And so we ran an operation together in London. I described the London safe house where we, you know, devise this operation. And then we go to Geneva on the ground, on the street, and he's got watchers all over the place. It's right out of a spy novel. And Uri was just a tremendous, tremendous human being and taught me firsthand just how serious the Israelis are, first about their security, second about bringing home their soldiers. They are very, very, very serious about bringing home their soldiers. They are still talking about Ron Arad 30 years later.
You know, it seems like there's no moss growing on you, Ken. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Well, Bill, it's a fun life. When I started this, I went to Paris as a young man with a novel in my suitcase, thinking I was going to be the next Ernest Hemingway. And, you know, okay, I might write some journalism. I might do some journalism. A bit boring. You know, journalists couldn't really write. They couldn't write dialogue. They couldn't, you know, write, make scenes come alive. And so I thought, it's a little boring, but I'll do it to make a living. I tell you, 35 years later, there wasn't a moment that was boring. Not
okay.
One.
All right. I've got a couple of callers. Let's get to their questions. Barry from Glendale, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, earlier Ken mentioned about having his life saved by guardian angels. And I'm wondering, Ken, right now, do you do any preaching or teaching or writing to win lost souls to Jesus Christ and the Bible?
Okay, I can do it very, very shortly. That's really off topic. I'll let you, as a courtesy to him, give a very brief answer.
Well, actually, Barry, that's not off topic, and Barry is absolutely right. I owe my life to Jesus, and I owe my life to him saving me in that Beirut cellar, and I try to share that witness. It has not always been easy for me, and one of the reasons I wrote this book was to share that witness of being saved by Jesus, and it has changed my life. It's changed my life forever.
Okay, thanks for that question, Barry. Let's go to Jack in Scottsdale.
You've gotten to us in the previous segment on Saudi Arabia.
Hello?
Issues to eliminate Western solutions. Can you hear me?
Very, very poorly.
Okay.
There's something wrong with your phone.
Audio radio? Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, I don't know what happened with Jack there, but in any event, maybe he'll call back.
He wanted to ask something about Saudi Arabia, but the Saudi experience for me was tremendously important. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it got me to explore Wahhabi Sunni Islam and to understand that what we were seeing, we call it Muslim fundamentalism. Well, it was actually just Islam. It is the core beliefs of the Islamic system. And I spent a lot of time learning that in Paris with a Shiite Ayatollah, an Iranian dissident. I write about that in The Rest is History. And but I also spent time learning about the Saudi flavor, which ultimately led to Osama bin Laden and 9/11.
Okay. One thing I've got to ask you is you've got this Islamic hatred for Israel and for America, right?
Yes.
Okay. How do you explain the Abraham Accords and the current situation where Saudi Arabia is really not being hostile to the United States? Maybe it's just that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I don't know. But talk about the Abraham Accords and then the U.S. and Saudi relationship.
The Abraham Accords are an absolutely phenomenal breakthrough. It's a life-changing breakthrough, not just for Israel, but for countries like the UAE and Bahrain as well, Morocco. These are countries that have not been on the at the forefront of the Arab steadfastness front against Israel. So these are not the countries that have been going to war against Israel. They're the countries that are more commercially inclined. Morocco has always had a large Jewish presence in the country. One of the top advisors the king, Azoulay, was Jewish, a Jewish Moroccan, a financial and strategic advisor. So there's not been the same hostility in these countries towards Israel or towards Jews that you had in Saudi Arabia. With the new crown prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, he too, I think, is trying to break away from these people I call the preachers of hate, the Wahhabi preachers, the ones who want to go back to a pure Islam right out of the Quran and reenact that book from the 7th century in today's world.
Well, Ken, tell me, who's got the power, though? I mean, the power...
Mohammed bin Salman. Mohammed bin Salman has got the power. And if he stays alive, I think that he has put the preachers of hate in a box. I think he's put them in a box. He's been dealing with Israel quietly. The Israelis have acknowledged it, and he has acknowledged it. Saudi Arabia was not ready to join the Abraham Accord, and certainly under Biden, they're not going to do it because Biden absolutely despises Mohammed bin Salman, despises him because of the murder of this phony journalist, Khashoggi, who was actually a Qatari agent. But Biden despises him, so they're not going to move on that. But I think he is the real deal. I think Mohammed bin Salman is the real deal, and I think he has put those preachers of hate in a box.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to take out your crystal ball and give us a little bit of your expertise in terms of giving us your considered opinion as to where this is going within the next 1, 2, maybe 5 years.
Well, look, I think, again, the Abraham Accords are a Rubicon for the Muslim world. And more countries are going to want to join as they see the success. The UAE has gone from zero commerce with Israel to something like $650 million in the first year of the Abraham Accords of trade, of bilateral trade. Absolutely amazing. And the Emiratis, who are very trade-oriented, very modern. They have if you've ever been to Dubai, it's been an amazing city. They've got probably the best metro system anywhere in the world, much of it above ground, and you can see fantastic things as you're traveling the metro. The Palm, the world, these offshore islands that they've built with very fancy high-end residences, they see themselves as not just a European-style country. They see themselves as a visionary country. And by doing business with Israel, they are showing a new future to the rest of the Middle East. This tiny little emirate, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, this tiny little country, the United Arab Emirates, it sees themselves as a leader in the Arab Muslim world, and they are showing that it's possible to be partners with Israel, and you will be richer for it, you will be happier for it, and you will be more secure if you do this.
All right, Ken, are you saying that money trumps Islam? And I don't mean to make a pun out of that, but does money trump Islam?
It's more than money. It is more than money. And you mentioned earlier the enemy of my enemy. Obviously, they are all afraid of Iran. And they're all worried about Iran. They're worried about an Iranian nuclear-armed Iran. And they're right to be worried about that. I write about this and the rest is history. I first discovered the Iranian nuclear weapons program by reading what's called the Foreign Broadcast Information Service, which was done by the CIA at that time, which translated some of the local radio and media inside Iran. And they told me about the visit to Iran of a Pakistani gentleman called A.Q. Khan. Well, A.Q. Khan just happened to be the father of the Islamic bomb in Pakistan. Nobody was paying attention to this. He went there on a contract with the Iranians to develop centrifuge enrichment, 1987. Nobody paid attention. I started to pay attention to that. And by 1992, I identified already about a dozen Iranian nuclear weapon sites.
Okay, Ken, I've got about 3 minutes left on the show, and I'd like you to use that any way that you like to kind of sum up or bring something up that I haven't asked you about.
Well, this book is a departure for me. I've written books of investigative reporting when that was still an honorable profession. Obviously, it's fallen by the wayside. I've written several novels, including The Election Heist, which came out before the 2020 election and which has very much the scenario of what actually happened, how the Democrats coordinated this plan to basically steal the election. And I believe that we lived through a coup in 2020. It was not an election. It was a coup. By the way, Patrick Colbeck's book, he was a former Michigan state senator who has written a book called The 2020 Coup. He picks up many, many of the scenarios that I played out in my fiction, The Election Heist, months before the election. So look, this new book is a departure for me. It's my story. I've written other people's stories for 35 years. Now I said, okay, maybe it's time I actually tell some of my own stories, things that have happened to me, you know, as a war correspondent on the ground in the Middle East, people I've met, things that have happened, places I've gone, extraordinary things where I become an arms dealer, a hostage, and an Israeli spy. Not a lot of people actually go through that trifecta.
I certainly don't know of any, but I can't claim to have perfect knowledge of that kind of thing. All right, Ken, one more minute. Anything else you want to say?
And through that, my guardian angels who have kept me alive. Just a couple of years ago, I was visiting Kurdish guerrilla forces on the border with Iran in northern Iraq. And I was dressed as a Kurd. I was going there clandestinely. And we were stopped and waiting for our escort to get through a checkpoint. And this Iranian Revolutionary Guards team spotted us, and they went past us first at 30 miles an hour. Then they came back a few minutes later the other direction at 20 miles an hour. And then they came up to the car and stopped and talked to the driver. And I said, okay, how am I going to open the door? I'm going to roll down this hill, and I'm going to run to the nearest town. I am not going to get kidnapped by the Iranians.
You know, Ken, there's an awful lot of risk you're getting into just to get a lot of frequent flyer miles. But that's another story, I think.
Anyway. But the Kurds and the Christians in northern Iraq are again, stories that not very many people tell. I've spent a lot of time with both of them on the ground, right, with the Iranian Kurds and with the Iraqi Christians persecuted.
That's a story that we'll have to talk about on another show. Ken Timmerman, thank you very much. Check out his book, and the rest is history, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies. Next Sunday, as I said, Mayor Jalovitz returns. He's going to discuss with a guest, Dr. Melissa Jane Kronfeld. She will deconstruct the myths about the struggle over the Temple Mount and address Israel's misbegotten policy of appeasement. The title of Mayor's presentation is going to be Israel's Disconnect from Reality, a Bold and Iconoclastic Perspective. As you know, Mayor is a terrific host, always very interesting, so please tune into that show. I'd like to thank you for listening to my show today. Very much appreciate it. Ken Timmerman's a wonderful guest. We will have him on again. Every time we have him on, he's talks about things that I want to talk about that we haven't had a chance to do, but we will certainly do that in the future. Thank you for spreading the word about Middle East Radio Forum. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
She will die. She's looking far, far away.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.